Hi, I'm Ken Kessler, and welcome to the Sounds of Christmas podcast. If you're new to this podcast, I'd like to start by saying thanks for joining us. If you're not new, welcome back. Either way, I'm very glad you're here. Now, to avoid any confusion, I want to start off by saying there won't be any music played here. This is a place for conversation. I'll talk about Christmas music and some related topics, sometimes by myself and sometimes with guests. If you're looking for music, just go to soundsofchristmas.com and click on the tree or the player on the front page or on the Listen Now page. You can also find our app in the Google Play Store. We play the best variety of Christmas music all year long. Well, except in October, when we play the best variety of Halloween music, which is what we're doing now, assuming that you're listening to this in October. And we wanted to talk about Halloween music on today's podcast. Very happy to have Mike from Vista Blue back with us this year. Hi, Mike.
Hey there. Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks for being on. It's very fitting to have you on in October because Vista Blue has a pretty nice catalog of Halloween music. And I know that you say not bad for a baseball band.
That's kind of a joke. Yeah, that's kind of a joke because people only refer to us as a baseball band, quote unquote. And clearly we do a lot of other stuff. So yeah, that's just a joke.
Right. I don't have the specific numbers in my head, but you've released like 6 or 7 baseball themed EPs and singles and about that many Halloween and about that many Christmas, give or take a little bit.
Probably about 50 songs of each. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty close. So I think calling you a baseball band or a Halloween band or a Christmas band, any of those things are sort of not really capturing it because you really have a foot in each of those camps. And there's other stuff too, but those are probably the three things you're most well known for.
Yeah, I do think so. And so we end up with like sort of people who are just fans of each of those things. And then we do other just weird stuff along the way. And so that's where it kind of the people who are along for the full ride kind of get the whole thing, whether it's like a curling song or a Summer Olympic song or a Thanksgiving song every night, whatever it might be. So
yeah. I'm looking on your Bandcamp page now, which is wearevistablue.bandcamp.com. And it lists Vista Blue as a rock band based in Nashville, roots in New Orleans. It seems to me last time we talked, there was also a Cincinnati connection. Am I right?
Yeah, my brother, who contributes some, he contributed a lot in the beginning. He lives in Cincinnati, and he's really busy. He's got two younger kids now, and so sometimes he'll contribute. Sometimes I'll sort of use a song that he wrote, and he still kind of contributes as a writer. He's just an amazing songwriter, but he just doesn't really play a lot of music these days. But so he definitely is still there. I have a lot of friends that are like in the background, but it kind of got to where like our last album that we did this summer, there were people in 5 different states. And so it's mainly just me in Nashville and we're from New Orleans. And so that's kind of how I left it in the bio.
I want to talk a little bit about Bandcamp. I don't want, you don't work for Bandcamp. You're not a spokesperson for Bandcamp, but for people who are listening to this, who haven't heard of it or don't know what it is, could you sort of explain what Bandcamp is?
Yeah, so I think I was actually a little later to it. I think my first releases on Bandcamp may have been in like 2015, and I was talking to some friends recently who were using it in like 2012. But so it really, when we got on it, we were really just looking for a way to post our music because Facebook wasn't great. Even if you used SoundCloud back then, it was kind of a hassle. They went through this little period where they wanted you to download the app. It could even still be that way. I don't know. But like, there wasn't a good way to say, I recorded this song, here it is, click play, And MySpace actually was really good about that. Like MySpace was easy to upload a song, hit play, and people could hear it. And Facebook just didn't have that going for it. And so when we found Bandcamp, it was just it was almost like a social media site for music. Where you could catalog your music and you could put it up there. And then it also let you charge what you wanted and you got the money immediately. And so if you put something up for $5, people could pay you $5. Bandcamp will take, like 74 cents of that or something. I don't know how it works, but it's like, they get a cut, they get like $1 for every $5. And, yeah. Yeah. And so, but so for some people, they can make money. I mean, we've definitely made a little money, but it also gives you the ability to say this song is either free, like do not pay for it, or what we do most of the time is pay what you want. Like, and so here's our new album. It's 10 songs. If you want to pay a buck, you know. And consequently, what happens is most people end up just downloading it and listening to it, which is the point anyway. Some people will just give a buck, and that's awesome. That's amazing. But then some people give 10 or 12 or 15. You know, so it's like it really just puts the value in that person's hands. I hate knowing that a new album's coming out and I don't have 10 or 20 bucks to drop on it. You know, and so this is like we're never going to keep the music from you. And so most of our stuff, if it's not a physical release on a label, then it's free. So when we get like a label that does a physical release, I don't want to take money from them. So that's where you'll see our stuff up for like $3, $5, or $8 or something. But, we love Bandcamp. Yeah.
Do you consider Bandcamp kind of Vista Blue's home on the internet?
Yeah, I mean, especially for a long time. And now we're on Spotify and everything. And so there are a lot of people who know nothing about Bandcamp. I do think there are a lot of people who just follow the Bandcamp and just like, because we put out so much music. And so there are a lot of people who just follow it and just as new music drops, they get it. And some just download it right away. Some pay right away. So, you know, it's really, we do have a great following on Bandcamp. Some people I know, and some people I have no idea who they are. I only know them by email address that I see they download or pay. And it's been that way for 6 years now. And so I would say it is our home, but of course we've branched out. We get so many plays through YouTube and Spotify now as well. And that's even more anonymous, of course, because you don't know who that is. You get some basic stats for like location and stuff. But I definitely have felt like Bandcamp is a great home for us.
Because I have noticed Tidal is T-I-D-A-L, for those who don't know. Tidal is the streaming service I use most. And I noticed that you're on there. I didn't count how many releases of everything's on there. So I figured that if you're on Tidal, you're probably on a lot of the streaming services. So people don't have to use Bandcamp to find you. There are lots more ways to find Vista Blue. Last time you were here, we were talking about the John Waters tribute that you guys did for Christmas. And since then, I think you've released four, is that right? Four new things this year?
It sounds about right. And one just real quick thing about that, the Spotify and the title, as you brought up John Waters. So the difference is going to be at Bandcamp, we're free to kind of do anything. It's not policed yet as far as rights, which is fine for us because we don't take money from people. But I guess it could be bad if people were stealing like other people's songs. But for like the John Waters tribute for us, we didn't write those songs and it's free. There's not even a donate option on that one, I don't think. And so, but that is not on Spotify or Tidal or anything because you have to license that stuff. And so our covers we have tons of covers that are only available on Bandcamp. There are a few that we've licensed and put on Spotify. There's a couple Beach Boy songs and, a couple covers that we did pay to license and those are on Spotify, but most of our covers are only on Bandcamp. So that's the difference. So if somebody does hear this and check us out on Tidal or Spotify or YouTube, there are covers there's a lot more on Bandcamp. Demos and earlier versions and things that we didn't release to Spotify.
You can find everything.
So this year, I guess we did there's the single. We did the Sandlot tribute with a few friends. And that's, so we have our little label that we use is called Radiant Radish. And so radiantradish.bandcamp.com is where we kind of put up things that are like comps that we do with other people, or like if we release something by another band every now and then, we might put that up there. And so there's a tribute to the Sandlot that we do with a few friends. And then we pulled a single for that and put it on our Bandcamp. Then we did I don't have in front of me, Pieces 2, which is like a collection of odds and ends from the last few years. So, 'cause we had Pieces a few years ago, which was like outtakes or like songs that weren't on any other release and just different things. So we did Pieces 2. Then we did our big album this year, was the Outsiders album. It's called Stay Gold. It is 11, 12 songs inspired by the Outsiders book mainly, and also the movie, but if you only know the movie, you might miss some of it. But it's been just a huge work of love for 2 years almost for us, and we finally got it done this year. So that was our big one. And then we just released on the Radiant Radish a Halloween comp. It's songs about horror movies, and so we pulled our song from that as well, called Victor Crowley, which is about the Hatchet slasher series by Adam Green. And we did a B-side from that one called Boy Beast, which is about Jason Voorhees. It's probably like our fifth Friday the 13th song that we've done. So, yeah, we do a lot of different stuff with friends. We always try to do free comps with friends where everybody does a song. And so we did that one about horror movies. And we at the end of September, we have another one we're doing at the end of November, which is songs about Christmas movies. So, which is something we do all the time. We're trying to rope friends in on this, you know, and make them do stuff.
Yeah, I get such a kick out of the stuff that you put out, and I mean that in the best way, because it's fun. I look at the Sandlot song that you released. It's called "You're Killing Me, Smalls," and anybody who knows yeah. that movie knows that line. And I just I see that. I read The Outsiders when I was, I don't know, ninth grade maybe. It's been a long time.
Yeah.
But the first track on Stay Gold is a line that starts the book and ends the book, and that line has stayed with me. So when I saw that the first track,
the first song
is Paul Newman and A Ride Home, yeah. I thought, oh, this is terrific. Yeah. This is great. And it's a lot of stuff that's fun, and it's so unfair to refer to you as a baseball band or any of those other things, because it's so much about taking the things that you guys really love and making it into music, whether it's a pop culture thing or sports related or whatever it is. I think of the things that we've talked about, the entire album dedicated to the Outsiders doesn't fit in any of those categories.
No. I mean, it's kind of along the lines of like the Ralphie's Red Riders album that we did, All About a Christmas Story. But Stay Gold ended up being a lot harder to write because that Ralphie's Christmas Story. I mean, there's just the joke I made. I may have said this on the last interview we did, but the joke I make about that movie is like every 10 seconds of that movie, I could write a song about, because it's just nonstop Gene Shepherd quips. And it's just amazing. Where The Outsiders is totally different, I realized once we started writing it, and that it's kind of just the same thing. It's like, it really drives home these themes, of sort of classism or separation everything that's going on, but it's sort of the same thing. There's not a lot to write about without like really getting into like plot, which I don't really want to like get into plot. I don't want to tell the story. My whole thing, I guess some people have described as like fan fiction. I kind of like to kind of dig in the background of the characters, kind of make my own stuff up while sticking to the story that S.E. Hinton presented, but so that was harder. I think we could do a sequel to Ralphie's Red Riders album. We're going to do a song every year. But that's Stay Gold. I think I'm done. I've said on other interviews, I had probably 20 to 30 ideas that I narrowed down to the 11 or 12. But I just think I'm done. It just took way longer than I thought it would. That was hard. But it's different than anything we've ever done. And we love it. We love how it came up.
Yeah, I would think with trying to create songs that are all about or taken from, inspired by this particular book, I think it would be really hard to do that without telling the story. And then it's like, then every song is just, it's a book on tape.
So. Yeah. I mean, you could do that. You could do like each chapter, I could have broken it up by chapter. I tried to approach it the same way I did Ralphie's Red Riders, where it's like kind of dig into the background of these characters. We're definitely like it's definitely a greaser sided album. There's not really any songs that's like pro Soch, if anyone knows what I'm talking about. The only thing we give the Soches on there is one of the things the greasers give them is that their cars are cool. So there's the song So Tough, which is just like, all right, we have to admit your cars are really cool. we don't hold that against you. If we had your money, we'd definitely drive those cars. So stuff like that. Yeah, I just dig into, like I said, some of my friends have called it fan fiction, which I'm honored. I like it. I've never written fan fiction, but if that's what my music sounds like, that's great. Yeah, I'll take it.
So the Victor Crowley, probably not certainly not the most well-known horror series. No. Not even one that would come up if you're thinking about the most popular ones. You don't see the costumes in the stores from Hatchet. So what sort of led you to do a song about Victor Crowley?
Oh man, Hatchet. So you know, we had such a dead period in the 90s, especially until Scream at least. And so Scream was it for us. Pretty, yeah, and there were the like the I Know What You Did Last Summer and stuff like that. But like, if we didn't have Scream in the 90s, things would have been really bad. And sort of the beginning of the 2000s was a lot of like sort of Rob Zombie kind of stuff, Wrong Turn kind of stuff. And so like, it just wasn't a great time for slashers for about 10 to 12 years or so. And Adam Green just came on the scene with Hatchet in, I guess, 2005 or 2006. And probably a personal connection to me is that it was like took place in the New Orleans area, which is where I'm from, and you know, in the Honey Island swamps, which I drove past the sign every day on my way to work for 4 years. And so I guess I felt that connection, but really I just fell in love with Adam Green and his movies. And he ended up doing four of them over the last 15 years or so. And I've heard that there's a fifth one in development or pre-development. And like, I just love him. I've never met him. Some friends, I've had friends that have like interviewed him on podcasts and stuff. And I've been to conventions, but we just have, I've never met him or anything, but I would love to. I love the guy. I think that he does it right when it comes to slashers. I mean, he gets all of the guys. Like Victor Crowley is played by Kane Hodder, who's Jason Voorhees in four movies. He gets Tony Todd from Candyman. He's, you know, he's had all Robert Englund. He's had all these guys in his movies. Everyone in the horror industry knows who he is. And I can't believe he's not huge. You know, I think if they put the new Friday the 13th in Adam Green's hands, it'll be back to what it was. Cause he obviously grew up loving it like we did. So I love him. I've loved Hatchet. We reference Hatchet and another song from our season's LP. And so I wanted to do a song about it. So he's also done a great movie, if anyone's into horror, but not slashers. He's done a great movie called Frozen, which came out before, right around the time of the Disney movie Frozen. And it is not a Disney movie. it's actually really cool. It's about a group of friends who get stuck on a ski lift, on a ski resort. And they basically convince the guy to let them go for one more run. And he lets them go up, and the other guys on the other end don't know, and they shut it off, and it's a holiday weekend, and they're going to be stuck in the snow for 3 days up on the ski lift. And you know, they're hungry, they're cold, they're frozen, and there's wolves at the bottom. So it's tense. It's one of the only movies that I remember when we were doing it for our podcast, and I was watching it like 5 a.m. getting ready to record a podcast later that day, and I had to pause it. Like, I had to walk around my house, I had to go do something. It shook me. It's not about blood and guts or anything. So I just think Adam Green's a genius. And so I wanted to have a Hatchet song. And that's Victor Crowley.
And then the B-side that you put on there is your fourth Jason song about Jason?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I can't, because my other bands have done Jason songs. And so, but this one was like last summer, I was just watching part two, I guess. And that line struck me. She was like, maybe there's a boy beast running around. I never really like thought of that before. And then it just hit me. I love a band called Groovy Ghoulies. And that song just popped in my head. It just sounded like a Groovy Ghoulies kind of thing to me. Boy beast. The Groovy Ghoulies write a lot of songs about like monsters and stuff. And I love those guys. And that song just kind of popped in my head. I was like, Groovy Ghoulies would run with this boy beast. That sounds amazing. So yeah, I just wrote it and just had it in my back pocket. And then we just, like I said, I wanted a little B-side to go with that one. So we just did that song.
We play all Halloween music throughout October. So you're definitely going to hear some Vista Blue songs. Is there one, and I know it's like asking you to pick your favorite child, but is there a Halloween song you've done that really sort of sticks with you?
Yeah, I'd say my favorite is I'm Gonna Be You for Halloween.
Oh, that was a good, that's a good one.
Just a great, like, whatever, like, I guess you'd call like a breakup song or something. I don't, just like someone you don't like, you know? And so it's just like, you know, I'm going to be selfish, I'm going to be mean, I'm going to be you for Halloween. Yeah, it's, you know, it's just like, a friend asked me to do a Halloween acoustic split with him. Actually a couple friends, like, I don't know, probably 2017. And so I was like, all right, so I'm going to do an acoustic Halloween song. It shouldn't be as like upbeat and everything. Like, so really the lyrics need to matter for this one. So like, I kind of sat down and tried to write some good lyrics, and we liked it. So we actually did it as a whole band for the 2019 Halloween album we did called Tricks and Treats. So yeah, it's probably my favorite. It's not about a movie or anything. It's just a funny Halloween song.
And Victor Crowley is a single on the Vista Blue page. It's also on, you had mentioned this comp called Time of the Season that's on Radiant Radish's page that has seven other songs. Are these other groups that you're connected to or that you know?
These are my friends. They're just friends of ours. The last band, they're called the Posers. I used to have a radio show, and I would play the Posers on my radio show. And so they found out I was doing it. And so I don't know those guys. I think they're from Texas, maybe. So they did that song and sent it. But all the other guys are good friends of mine. Yeah, there's some really good stuff on there. The funny thing about that, so there's a band, Ralphie's Red Riders would not exist without a band called The Home Alones. So I may have mentioned them on the last time we talked, but mm-hmm. The Home Alones, I found them years ago and just on Bandcamp. And they wrote all songs about Home Alone. They had a six song EP on Bandcamp, and I loved it. And so Ralphie's Red Riders started because I actually had a Home Alone song before I found them, and I sent it to them. I was like, I love your stuff. Here's a Home Alone song I did. And they were like, your song's better than ours. And we became friends. It was really fun. And I said, you know, they were like in Atlanta and we're in Nashville, and it was right before the pandemic. And I was like, we should start a Christmas story band, and we'll play a show and we'll be like rivals, you know, and we'll be like Ralphie's Red Riders. And they were like, you should definitely do that. And we'll try and play a show. Then of course the pandemic happened. We haven't gotten together yet, but we've been good friends, and they encouraged Ralphie's Red Riders, and that's gone really well. So when I was doing these two comps this year, they haven't done anything since, I don't know, 2014 or whatever, 15 maybe, when that first EP came out. I reached out to them. I said, we're doing a comp for songs about Christmas movies. And I really love The Home Alones to finally do another song for this comp. And I said, also, you know, look, we're doing this comp for songs about horror movies for Halloween. I'd love The Home Alones to do that as well. Just kind of joking. A lot of times when I joke around on the internet, things become real. And next thing I know, they are changing their name to the John Carpenter's The Things. And they're writing a song about John Carpenter's The Thing. It's hilarious. And so I got The Home Alones out of retirement to do that song as the John Carpenter's The Thing. It's the perfect Halloween costume.
And this is a great comp. If you're looking for some Halloween themed inspiration kind of music, you should definitely check this out time of the season. And it's funny, some of these I look at them and I'm like, okay, which one is the song and which one's the name of the band? Because there's
look, the Stevens is a band, and they already exist. They're in Nashville too, and they write all songs about Stephen King. And so yeah, I could see looking at these band names, and it's pretty funny.
This is a fun comp, and it's on the Radiant Radish Bandcamp page. And speaking of Radiant Radish, if you go to their website, there's a bunch of Vista Blue stuff you can get if you want a physical copy of something. There's records, and I think this is so cool. Scary Songs to Sing in the Dark is available on cassette.
Yes.
I think that's so cool.
We got several cassettes. We got four now, but that one and
the Ralphie's Red Riders.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're on the Memorable Not Honorable cassette label that is just amazing. Like this label is great. He does 50 cassettes when he releases something, and they sell out like that day. I mean, you know, sometimes ours have, luckily. And he just knows what he's doing, and he puts together a great package, and people trust what he's putting out. And he's a great guy, and he loves certain music, certain bands, and certain people. And he just is a great guy to work with. And I think people just trust the product that he's putting out, and he does a great product, and people love it. It's been a great experience working with that label.
Well, I know that this year there's a lot of vinyl coming out, Christmas albums, both new artists that had new releases this year or in recent years, as well as classic things that are coming out. And they're coming out as colored vinyl and picture disc and stuff. And I look at this page and I'm like, this is kind of cool that you can get Ralphie's Red Riders on cassette, and they're red and green cassettes.
Yep, he does the color cassettes. I'm telling you, if anybody is into cassettes, go to Memorable But Not Honorable. You can find them. And he just does, yeah, he does a great product. The cassettes are beautiful. You know, like our songs about horror movies, we're friends with this band called The Horror Section, and that's all they do is songs about horror movies. And the tapes on that label that he's done are great. He did the one he did, I guess last summer, or yeah, I think it was last summer. It had a slip sleeve over it, and it made it look like it was like a VHS rental sleeve. Huh. And when you open it up, the inside looked like a VHS tape. You know, songs about horror movies is so great. And so when and he, when we talked about putting out the Scary Songs to Sing in the Dark, which is really a compilation of two EPs that we did in 2017 and 2018, songs about urban legends, right? It was obviously inspired by Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, the Alvin Schwartz series. And so we just said, we got his wife, who's a great artist, to recreate that cover picture of the, I guess you call it like the clown skeleton, if anyone knows what I'm talking about, like the blue and red paint that goes with the color scheme of the great books. And so we got her to, she recreated that painting and she did a great job. They gave away the original for one of the pre-orders. And that was the wraparound is like a slip sleeve on that. And when you take it out, it's one of the, it's a drawing of the babysitter urban legend. That's on the second EP cover. So yeah, it's just got great art. It's a great product. Like it sold out within 24 hours. Like it was just, it's great. And we have a Stay Gold will be out on that label early 2023.
Nice. That's the, it's just so cool to see, to have, you know, the option of getting the physical stuff is really cool.
Well, and here's one. This is pre-order right now, I think coming out later this month. A-Track, Stay Gold's on A-Track.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a great label. It's called Little Lost Girl. And she's doing 8 tracks and it's amazing. I think those are limited to like 30 copies. And they basically are restoring old 8 tracks because it's not like people are producing these parts. And so they are sort of recycling and restoring old 8 tracks and creating new products out of them. And in the pop punk community, it's really taken off and she's having to repress things now because, you know, 30 copies, but who thought that you'd sell a bunch more than that? And she's doing really great with that. What I heard is that she's got players in production too. They're going to be like Bluetooth compatible and hopefully like $100 or less. And the way that they pitch it is like the 8-track tape is actually better than the cassette tape because it's like thicker and you can, you know, the sound is better. And I don't remember. I remember my parents having the 8-tracks, but I don't remember enough about the sound. But I believe it. The tape is bigger, you know. So
the only thing that bugged me about 8-tracks, and I'm sure this is something that she won't be doing, is that sometimes to make all the songs fit, they would split a song between tracks. So you're listening and the song suddenly fades, and then you get the chunk where it switches to the next track and the song fades back in.
I never knew that. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's hilarious. So
It definitely takes you right back to the 60s.
It'd be like a longer song, like a Led Zeppelin, like an epic song or something. It would take more than one track. Yeah. See, Stay Gold, all the songs were like 2 minutes or less. So.
Yeah, it shouldn't be a problem. And I'm sure if she's doing this, you know, for somebody who's putting this together now, they're aware of that kind of thing. And they'll
Right. Yeah. Yeah. But it's amazing. We haven't done vinyl since last year when we did the compilation. It's like a tribute to a prank call podcast that we love and have supported. And we got some artists that have written songs for that. That's the last vinyl we did last year. Actually, it came out early 2022, I guess, finally. Took like 10 months and the whole industry is a mess. I pre-ordered a record maybe 16 months ago that they keep sending emails and saying it's going to ship next week. And like, it's crazy. And so I don't want any part of it. The only way I'd do vinyl right now is if a label I really liked contacted me and either A said we want to put out, say, Stay Gold or Ralphie's Red Ride or something that's not out yet. I'd say, and I trusted them, I'd say, okay. And then, hey, 18 months from now, maybe we'll have it. Or if someone literally said, we'll pay for you to go into the studio, do a real record, and we'll put it on a vinyl, then I'd consider that too. But I mean, if I'm just making a record at home and I can get it on Bandcamp a week after we finish it, like, and move on to the next thing, that's my thing. My thing is like, I did Stay Gold, I wrote it over like 14 months, but I mean, we finished it in May and June. And so why not release it on July 1st? And then it's time to move on to something else. You know, it's like, I don't like sitting on music if I don't have to, cause I write and record so much that it gets old to me. And, I love this band called The Apples in Stereo. Robert Schneider does that band, great guy. And, you know, just if you hear him talk, he's always said it's snapshots. You know, this record, Tone Soul Evolution, that was a snapshot of 1997. And you know, this was a snapshot of 1999. And that's how I feel, you know. It's like Stay Gold, that was like early 2022. And let's get it out. Let's move on to some Halloween stuff and some Christmas stuff. Yeah. Not wait 18 months for the vinyl to come out.
Well, and since you have sort of teased the Christmas release without spoiling anything, is there anything you can tell us
oh, it's going to be so fun. So classic Pat, my friend, he does so many projects, and he's more prolific than I am, because he's a maniac. And he has two different Star Wars themed projects, if I'm correct. And so he is doing a song about the Star Wars holiday special, which, you know, is loved and hated by many, and I can't wait for that. I'm guessing the Home Alones are going to do a song finally, which is going to be amazing. You know, we'll do a Ralphie's Red Riders and a Vista Blue song. And just, I'm hearing from other people that they're in. And the weird questions I'm getting only make me smile, because people go like, well, what counts? Like, can I do something from like this Wonder Years episode? I'm like, yes, that would be awesome. Please do that. Yeah, like, so I don't know yet. I don't have a lot of stuff in, but I'm excited. It's always fun. Sometimes like the Sandlot thing only came out to four songs. And so it's just whoever feels crazy enough to do it. Yeah, we'll do it. And hopefully, I'm guessing it's probably going to be 6 to 10 songs, and it'll be super fun. And I can't wait. You know, the Sandlot thing is funny. We were telling people they should do it, and we only got two other friends who were crazy enough to write and record a Sandlot song for this. And my friend Rusty, who's my co-host on Snow in Southtown, our Christmas podcast, he was like, well, I haven't seen the Sandlot. Can I just write a song about that? And we're like, yes, you can write a song about that. And so Rusty's song in there is I've Never Seen the Sandlot, and I love it, and I want to cover it because it's an amazing song about never having watched the Sandlot. And what's the big deal?
One of the things that I really like about Bandcamp, and that you've alluded to, not even alluded to, that you've just outright said, is that you can have an idea for something, you can write the song, you can get together with your friends and record it, and boom, it's out, and move right on to the next thing. When you click on, you go to Bandcamp to the Vista Blue page, and you click on any of the releases, one of the things that it says is that there's an option to buy a digital discography. So you can get everything. And there's 48 releases that are available. And, you know, and it's a deal, and you can go and boom, instantly own everything. Of course, that's everything up till now, because there's something new coming next month. Do you have any plans already in the works, or at least on the drawing board for 2023?
We have so much. I mean, we have a new EP coming out soon. Like, it could be this weekend. So then we're immediately starting Christmas stuff. We also, another thing we're in the middle of right now, when we do like our vinyl releases that we can't find a label for. So three times we've wanted to do a vinyl thing and couldn't find it, like the Crowing record, we couldn't find a vinyl label to put it out in time for the 2018 Olympics. There's been just a few times that we wanted to do vinyl and ended up doing a Kickstarter. So they're our friends and fans or whatever, you know, could just basically pre-order it, and that would get it enough money to have the thing done. So when we do the Kickstarters, all three times, there's an option to have us write three or four songs about any theme that you pick. And you know, it's like $200-$250 or whatever, and it really helps us get to our goal. And there's this one guy who's done it every time, and so he has had us write three different EPs. And the deal is that we write it, we record it, and then we have CDs made just for us and you. And so basically five CDs get made, and that's it. And so we need to do the third one for him from Kickstarter last year, and these songs are going to be about running, is what he picked. So his first theme was a Colt Cabana, who is a wrestler. Are you familiar with wrestling at all?
No, not at all. No,
me either. And he wanted us to write three songs about a wrestler named Colt Cabana. And he sent me notes, and I said, okay, this is cool, I can do this. And we wrote three songs about Colt Cabana. And Colt Cabana is an interesting story. If you don't know, you should look it up, but he's an interesting guy. And he's really big in podcasting. And I actually later, I think right after we did the songs, I heard him on a podcast I love called The Doughboys. It's like a food review, restaurant review podcast. It's hilarious. And so the guy that we recorded it for ended up sending the songs to Colt Cabana, who tweeted about it and talked about it, played a song on his podcast. It was like, this guy paid these guys to write this music about me, and it's awesome. And so Colt Cabana and I talked on Twitter a little bit, and he's just the greatest guy. He's awesome. And he knows that I know nothing about him. Like, one of his tweets is like, these guys have no idea who I am, and they made this music. And it's really cool that he did that. And then the next one was about sumo wrestling. The guy wanted us to do, and we did it. And then our distributor in Japan heard about it and asked if we were going to put it out on CD. And we're like, well, no, it's really just for him. You know, we just kind of were posting about it to be funny, but it's really just for this one guy. And they said, we'd love to distribute it here. And so I asked the guy, he said, yeah. So we had CDs made. They're only available in Japan, and they're four songs about sumo wrestling. And so that's the kind of stuff we do. So right now we're writing songs about running. I you know, it's like the next theme we need to tackle. So we're going to get this new EP out by the end of the month. And we're going to do some songs about running real quick and then jump over to some holiday stuff. So we've already started demoing some Christmas stuff, of course, but yeah, we'll get to it.
Busy, busy, busy. And then in between all of this stuff, in and around it, is your Christmas podcast, Snow in Southtown.
Yeah, I mean, that's been a lot of fun. We started our Patreon this year, you know, basically sort of eyeing 2023 Christmas season, you know, because we figure just bank a lot of bonus content, you know, so we've been doing bonus episodes. And the thing that Rusty and I have is that we both write a ton of songs, and we do Christmas songs every year. We may have talked about it last time, but we've done this comp since 1999. Rusty joined us first in 2002. When I met him, and every year it's just like a comp of goofy songs. Some are really good, I mean, but mostly goofy Christmas songs, and that we just send out to our friends and family. It used to be on cassette, then it was on a CDR. Now it's just digital, a folder that was like a Google folder, and we just send it out to friends and family like a Christmas card. It's like, hey, here's 15 songs that we all did, and you know, and then again, like there's usually some really cool stuff in there. There are several songs on our Bandcamp that Rusty wrote for this comp that I was like, this song is really good. I'm going to steal it and play it. And like, Nobody Told Me It Was Christmas is one of the ones that we did that was his. And so, yeah, so Rusty and I have already started demoing some of that, but we've just got this whole catalog of Christmas music. And so on our Patreon, we're going to have bonus episodes, of course, but we also are going to put up at least one song a month. It's been two every month since we launched the Patreon. And so that's one thing that we have, is that there are people who do actually listen to our music and can get tracks on there that aren't available anywhere else. The deal with the music is that it's like, hey, this stuff could be released again later, you know, so but you're going to hear it first at least, but some of it will just be there, it'll never be used anywhere else. So our Patreon has been a lot of fun, and just it's the whole thing's fun. We do all holidays. You know, we're doing some Halloween stuff this month, and next month we'll switch over to Christmas, and we'll hit the official season, you know, our Christmas season, where we do our 8 episodes in November and December. So yeah, looking forward to it.
Wow. I've got the Sounds of Christmas going and this podcast going, and I'm worn out just listening to all that you've got cooking. And I know that there's lots more.
It never stops. The funny thing that we're doing right now with the Patreon is on one of our summer episodes, we said, we're talking about Easter Parade. Oh, cause we reviewed Holiday Inn. We're talking about Easter Parade, and we're like, I don't think I've seen Easter Parade, the movie. You know, it's like I had to see it, but I don't remember any of the like songs. So we went and looked, and we're like laughing at all the song titles. And we're like, these song titles are pretty great. We should write our own songs just based on the song titles, because I don't know any of these songs. I don't remember them. So we did. Of course, we launched the Patreon, and so now we are recording songs based on the Easter Parade titles. And we've got 5 of them posted already on our Patreon. And by Easter, we'll have them all done. We'll have all the songs based on Easter Parade titles, but nothing to do with actual Irving Berlin songs, right? And we will send CDs to the people at that level on the Patreon who are at the physical media level. And they will get custom CDs of Rusty and my Easter Parade songs that are just really funny. It's been a lot of fun. And in fact, one that I wrote called The Girl in the Magazine Cover, we had so much fun with it that I actually stole it and sort of redid it a little bit for the next Vista Blue EP that's coming out later this month. So I've already stolen one of my own songs that I liked it so much. So yeah.
How do people find you on Patreon?
I think it's just patreon.com/snowinsouthtown. So we're all on Twitter and Facebook and everything, and anywhere you get podcasts.
Okay. And one of the things I always like to remind people who are listening, who plan on going to Bandcamp, is Bandcamp does a thing on the first Friday of the month where they waive their fees and all the money goes to the artists. So I know a lot of Vista Blue stuff is free on Bandcamp, but you could go and grab the whole discography, like I had mentioned. And I think it's just over $20 for 48 releases, and they get all the money. The next Bandcamp Friday is coming up November 4th. So, I mean, if you need the Halloween stuff now, I understand that. Go get it now. But
it's free. You can grab it. Yeah.
Yeah. But otherwise, go have some fun on Bandcamp on November 4th and remember Vista Blue and check out their stuff.
Yeah. Well, we got a lot up there. So more coming.
I know we have been all over the map, and I feel kind of silly even asking this, but is there anything that we've missed that you want to mention?
No, I probably talked too much. No, I think it's, yeah. I mean, there's so much, like you said, there's
yeah,
so much cooking, so much, and it just goes back so long. There are ideas that I'm digging up. I had my cassettes out the other day. I was looking for something. And I ended up finding like a whole stack of song ideas from 2001 and 2002. And I was like, this probably can't be good, but you know, let's see what's on. So I was posting on Facebook. I'm like, I'm sitting for 2 hours listening to these song ideas from 2001. Who knows what's on here, you know? So, yeah. So it's just fun. Just trying to get all my ideas out while I'm still feeling creative.
So Victor Crowley is the new single. Perfect for your Halloween playlist. And you have a new EP coming out soon.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not really a theme. It's our first in a long time. It's actually our first October release, I think, since our first year when we did a baseball release for the World Series. I think this is our first release in October that won't be Halloween themed. You know, we did Victor Crowley, but we have this one right. Coming out. It's like I said, the girl in the magazine covers on it. It's sort of the theme is there. It's in my head, but it's not really something that like I'm going to openly like get into, you know, because it's kind of complex to me, but it's basically songs about people. And for different reasons, there are a couple of songs about friends of ours who are named, you know, the songs are named after them. And then just songs about different people for different reasons. Some of it open and some of it symbolic. Yeah. So it's just something that I've been just songs I've had laying around. Again, this is one that started about 12 or 15 songs. And we just cut it to six and just said, let's just do these six songs and move on.
And that's coming later this month.
Yeah, pretty soon.
And then in November, new Christmas music.
Correct. Yep. And who knows, maybe some other stuff along the way. We're working on a little league, you know, concept. I don't know if it'll be, you know, just a few songs or a full length or whatever, but we've got a pile of songs that we've been throwing around about little leagues. So that, you know, we're shooting for early 2023 or at least the spring for that, maybe opening day. But that's one of the next concepts we're trying to tackle.
About the movie Little League or
Little League sports. Okay. So everything, baseball, football, soccer. We got a soccer song. It's our first soccer song. Yeah, we're trying to get that out. We actually did last summer when we did our Summer Olympics sequel. There's a song on there called Hey Anthony. It's like, Hey Anthony, why's your mama got a boombox? And it's about a Little League player whose mom has a boombox in the outfield and she plays the kids walk-up songs on this boombox, which is inspired by a true story. And so that was one of them. And we just went ahead and did it kind of like a B-side for that. And we told our friends, we got all these Little League songs. Here's one of them. You know, whenever we get a chance to record these, it's going to be hilarious. But yeah, we got like probably six or seven songs already that we know. But it might be something we just cut down to four, like I said. But or we could stretch it to a full length. But look for that early 2023, hopefully.
It's just amazing all the stuff that you guys have put out and continue to put out. My hat's off to you if I were wearing one.
Well, I appreciate you just doing this podcast and the whole Christmas sounds. It's awesome. You know, can turn it on or tune into like a podcast or something, or just the social media presence as it is. It's awesome. So I'm just honored to be on here and appreciate you having us and playing us and all of that.
I'm delighted to have you back again and look forward to talking to you another time, maybe this time next year, about all the 2023 stuff.
Sure, anytime.
Thanks so much for joining us, Mike.
No problem. Thank you.
And thank you so much for listening and for continuing to support the Sounds of Christmas station and podcast. Station is still on, of course. It's always on. And since I'm recording this in October, it's actually the Sounds of Halloween right now. And you'll hear a lot of the songs that Mike was talking about, in addition to lots of other spooky songs for the current season, as I get all the new music added for the new season of the Sounds of Christmas, which starts on November 1st. If you'd like to celebrate the songs of the current season, You can just cruise by soundsofchristmas.com, click on the tree or the player on the front page or on the Listen Now page. You can also grab the app from the Google Play Store and take the music with you wherever you go. And as far as this podcast goes, we're now on over 30 podcasting sites. So if you didn't find us on your favorite today, just search for the Sounds of Christmas there, and I'm pretty sure you'll see our tree. Then you can subscribe and you'll never miss another episode. If you have comments or suggestions on this episode, previous episodes, the Sounds of Christmas Station, the Sounds of Halloween, or the Standard Station, feel free to reach out to me on social media or through the website. Thanks again, and may you always believe in Santa Claus.